Thank you, brother. Wow, praise the Lord. Amen. Saturday morning. We're going to study some stuff today, trusting the Lord to bring revelation to our hearts as we read the word of the Lord. How many here, the Lord has spoken to him yesterday? The Lord spoke to you yesterday. Amen. This morning, we're going to talk about the area where God is after deepening your confidence in him. The deeper your confidence, the greater is the anointing. The greater is the authority that you're going to operate in. So, things that I'll be sharing this morning that I learned in the fields, in the nations. So we're going to talk about how to be secure, not in the things of the word, but in the Lord. We want to be secure in the Lord. So the secure leader is our subject. I know that from now until lunchtime, we're going to cover this subject. After lunch, we'll be talking about the Muslim Awareness Seminar. This seminar, we're going to study in like an hour and a half everything about Islam and how. So you don't need more than that. So get your questions ready because we're going to open some questions and answer this afternoon. How we can reach those people, where we're going. Are these people included in the redemption? Yes, Jesus died for them. So we're going to have a big day today, and we're trusting the Lord to strengthen us as we hear the word. Now, the true leadership is coming from the heart of the leader. So when we serve, we're going to serve out of our hearts. We're going to lead out of our hearts. So that's why God takes so long, so many years to prepare his servant. He takes a lot of years to build that heart. So when God said, I found David after my own heart, that he's going to do my will. So today we're going to, how to be safe, secure, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. So we're going to talk about not just security physically as much as how I'm going to be a secure person because of the grace of the Lord. Now, there are hidden fears. There are hidden fears in our lives. I don't know if I'm talking to the right people this morning or not. There are hidden fears, and we call them hidden unrest in our hearts, in our lives. And it's been there with me, and I learned to cope with them, to work with them, and adjusted myself to those hidden fears, hidden unrest. But today is the day that God wants to free us completely. We really want God to bring that deep rest, deep confidence in our hearts that will cause us to operate in greater freedom than ever before. When we look at this subject, we learn that God uses insecure people. In fact, most of the God used in the Bible were insecure. I mean, look at Jeremiah. What happened? I mean, God called him. The first thing he said, Lord, I'm completely insecure. I'm a kid. How I'm going to stand in front of those giant leader? How I'm going to face the nation? And he was completely insecure prophet. So you're qualified, whatever, for God to use you. So we see God called the insecure, transformed them to be secure in him. So we're not talking about being secure of how much money you have or how many degrees do you have or how many wealth you have, how healthy you are. We're not talking about that. We're talking about how we can find a place of that deep security in the Lord that we can operate. Now, in the Bible, we look at the disciples. Jesus called 12 insecure disciples. They were fighting all the time, 3.5 years fighting. Who's going to be the greatest? Oh, you, me, you know. I'm. So it's all they've been like battling that area of insecurity. Even every culture feeds our insecurities. Tradition feeds our insecurities. So when we look at the disciples, most of them, like, look at Peter. One day we see him, wow, he's a secure leader. He's walking in water. Just a few minutes later, he's sinking down. One day we see him up there talking, declaring who Jesus is. Then one second day, he said, You're not gonna go to the cross. Jesus said, Get behind me, Satan. So we see the life of Peter was going up, secure one day, second day, he was insecure, and so forth. Then at the day of when Jesus said, I'm gonna die on the cross, he said, listen, Jesus, if everybody denies you, you can count on me. He was secure in himself. We call it false securities in our lives. God is going to get rid of them this morning. He's going to free you from all false securities. He thought, I can handle to stand with Jesus when he dies on the cross. Jesus said, listen. That security of yours, it's not going to last for another few hours. He denied him 3 times. We know the story. He met him after the resurrection. And after the resurrection, you know, he stayed. He continued to be insecure. We look at Peter. Jesus said to him, signifying by what death Peter would glorify God. And he said to Peter, follow me. Now, Peter really, he suffered jealousy from John. Oh, that's apostles that do that? Yeah, he was jealous of John. And he said to Jesus, I heard John is not going to die until you come back. John found him sleeping at the chest of Jesus, and Jesus said to Peter, signifying what kind of death he's going to glorify. Now Peter, what happened? He looked at John. He said, what about him? Jesus said, if I want him to remain until I come back, what is that to you? Mind your own business. If I want him to remain until I come back, what is that to you? You follow me. So we see Peter was really struggling with jealousy, with insecurity there, even after the resurrection. Now, God, in the day of Pentecost, filled Peter. Now what happened? Peter was transformed. He stood and preached the gospel in front of the people that he denied Christ 3 times. And we know he became a giant there. But Peter did not allow the Lord to heal him completely from the area of insecurity. He continued with that thing while he's preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, while he's preaching the gospel in Judea. But Peter continued struggling with this until God brought Paul into the scene. We see in the book of Galatians, Peter was insecure from the Jews. He was preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. When the Jews shows up, he hides himself. He doesn't want to associate with the Gentiles. He was afraid from the opinions of the Jews of him. That's why God raised up Paul to take the gospel to the Gentiles, because Paul was transformed by the divine power to be a secure leader. Now Paul came and rebuked Peter, telling him, listen, Peter, You cannot carry the message with a heart of insecurity. I want you to see this carefully. After that incident, we no longer hear about Peter in the Bible. Can you see it? How important that insecurity can jeopardize the message of Christ. Insecurity can cause us really to wobble, change, and build a new doctrine. So this morning, God is after really building a strong leader. He wants a strong leader. Now, we live in a world that is characterized by deep insecurity everywhere. This deep insecurity causing depression, loneliness, emptiness. And the world today is filled with hurt, neglect, abuse, brokenhearted, separation, rejection, great struggles with outside appearances. I mean, psychology trying to solve this issue. They try to solve the issue of insecurity, inferiority. Inside of the person, they could not come up with answers. Now, I want you to come this morning understanding that God created us with needs. Needs for provision, needs for safety, needs for security. And what is the problem? We try to meet those needs outside the Lord. We go to meet these needs outside the Lord. Now, when we look at David was a secure leader. Do you know why? The secret of being a secure leader, you really know the presence of God. The secure leader is filled with the presence of God. Now, he was just a boy. Came to visit his brothers. He saw Goliath was mocking God, insulting the people of the Lord. 40 days. What happened? He was just a boy like that. And Goliath like half of that building there. Goliath mocked David, made fun of him. What did David say? I want you to see that picture, because when David faced Goliath, he wasn't saying, oh, should I face him, should I not? There was no fear inside of that man's heart, David's heart. He had no fear. He said, you come to me with sword and spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. How many here believe that God is going to strengthen our hearts? So whatever challenge comes against us, we know we have a deep confidence in the presence of God. We have deep confidence in the name of our Lord. I was asked to come and pray for a witch doctor. A witch doctor was 36 years in practicing witches. Even the police cannot get near him. People are scared from him. You pay a lot of money for him to help you with demons. But he asked the people that knows me, he said, I want to meet Pastor Andrew. He didn't know me. I didn't know him before, but I know of him. So when I came to meet him, I hesitated. I said, Lord, I don't want to get into this. Give me just a small guy, a small demon. I'll cast him out, and I can't handle that. I don't want this big thing. When I stood there, God gave me a strong heart there. He said, when he looked in my eyes, he said to me, I know you can help me. Can you get me out from what I'm in? There were tears in his eyes. I said, do you want Jesus? He said, everything I asked him, he said, yes. He told me, I know who you are. I know who's standing behind you. I can see him. And I know you can help me. So I stepped in there with confidence, and I prayed for him, And all demons, I mean hundreds of evil spirits were living in him. They left him completely. Within a few minutes, he was so completely delivered by the power of God. And suddenly the Holy Spirit fell on him. He said, he started crying, sobbing, and he said, there's something gentle, sweet coming into my body. God saved him, delivered him, and now he's serving the Lord Jesus. I tell you, when they called me to meet him and to pray for him, I said, no. This is bigger than Goliath to me. We're going to face situations. We're going to face challenges. Unless you have a deep confidence in the Lord, that secure heart, you're going to make a U-turn. You're going to make an exit. Now, we're going to discover the anchor of our soul this morning. We have an anchor in the Lord. Now, if I ask a question, how many here trust the Lord? Hallelujah. Okay, how many here, God, trust you? I'm not sure. No. How many here desire God to trust me? Which means you have to deepen your confidence in him. If God wants to entrust us with his glory, with his anointing, with his power, with his resources, you have to have a deep confidence in God. Now, when you have a deep confidence in the Lord, what happened? The Holy Spirit is comfortable with you. He's really comfortable with you. He loved to hang out. He loved to be with you because of that deep confidence in the Lord. Now, this is just an introduction. Just an introduction. In 2 Corinthians, there's some verses there. About Paul, 3:1-6. It says, Paul was saying, was talking about himself. Do we begin to commend ourselves, or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistles written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. And we have such trust through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of a new covenant. Not of the letter, but the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. When we look at the life of Paul, what we see? When he got saved, he was rejected by the early church. They don't want to associate with that itself, by itself. Imagine you get saved and the church rejects you. What happened? Automatically you feel, what's wrong with me? I'm insecure now. He was rejected by the early church. Not just that. He faced so much trouble, so much threats, so much hardships. I mean, he struggled with a lot of physical needs, physical limitations. If a person should declare insecurity, that was Paul. But listen to what he said. What I am because of the grace of God. He was testifying, yes, I came out of so much insecurities, so much rejection, so much. But listen, the grace of God transformed my life and I became a strong leader. And I tell you, God entrusted the gospel to Paul for that very thing, because Peter could not really carry on the gospel to the Gentiles very well. He started moving with insecurity. God says, stop it. I am raising a new man. To trust the gospel with a man that have a deep trust, he will never change his mind. He will never be affected by the opinions of people. He will not seek to prove himself. So when we look at Paul, we look at a leader that was transformed to be a strong leader, to be a powerful leader. And he wrote more than half of the New Testament because of his deep confidence in the Lord. We have some points there. Paul tells us with these points. The first thing Paul is telling us, when you are a secure example of a secure leader, a secure person, a secure believer, demonstrates of stability in all aspects of life. Do you know why people follow my ministry, follow my leadership? Do you know why? For one reason. They trust me. They feel safe with me. We don't have many single people here, but single girls, single boys, you know, any woman will be convinced of the man she's going to marry on the basis of one thing. He's a secure man. Secure person, because a woman, she feels safety. She feels secure with a man that has a deep confidence, not in himself, but he has a deep confidence in the Lord. Yes, God wants you to be self-confident, but not in yourself, in the Lord. Build your self-confidence, not on yourself, but on the Lord. That's why the definition of the secure leader you have in you, the secure leader is one who walks with inner confidence and freedom in the Lord, accompanied by humility. When you have a self-confidence that is built on yourself, you're a proud person. But if you have a confidence that is built in the Lord, you walk in humility. You know one thing, Lord, without you, I can do nothing. Without the Lord, I collapse. Without the Lord, I can be finished. Nothing will happen without the Lord in my life. So we see the stability that Paul brought to the gospel, to the message, brought to the churches. When Paul was speaking, he brought stability to the church. Not just the teaching, but the teaching that is coming out of a heart that has a deep confidence in God. Listen to the second thing, advancement in life and ministry through flexibility. Are you flexible? Or you don't like change? Are you adaptable? If you travel with me several trips, you will be flexible. I'll tell you, you will be very flexible. You will be forced to be flexible. Now, what causes you to be flexible is security. When you are secure, you're not afraid to get out of the box. You're not afraid to take that chance. You're not afraid to take that risk. That flexibility, because you have a deep confidence in the Lord, nothing will shake you. Now, Paul said, in all circumstances, I learned to be content. In plenty, in poverty, in need. In all circumstances, I learned to be content. That means I'm happy. I'm at rest with myself, with all conditions of life. Nothing provokes me. And that area of flexibility caused him what? to advance in his life. Secure leaders always, they get off the box, flexibility, and God says, Paul, I'm going to use you. I'm going to use you to touch Europe, to touch those nations, to travel. And Pastor Mike traveled with me many times. Pastor Mac traveled with me. Every year I say, Lord, this year I need a new country to give to me. I want to enter a new country. Every year God says, are you willing to go? Yes, Lord. I don't know about that country, but I'm willing to step out. That advancement in your life, in your every sphere of life because of that flexibility. Let's move trusting people and impacting their lives. Insecure leaders, insecure people, they never trust others. They're always suspicious. They're afraid. They never trust anybody. They can compliment people, but they don't trust them. Now, you have to trust somebody in order to influence his life. You cannot influence somebody unless he feels you trust him. Unless he feels that you trust him. So I don't want to spend a lot of time on that. Let's go ministry that liberates. When you have an insecure person comes and visit you, how do you feel? You say it in your mind, when he's going to leave? I'm uncomfortable. I can't be myself. I'm locked because all what he talks about himself, and you feel like inferior. You feel like you're so small in front of him. So instead of liberating you, he's binding you. Insecure people, they don't liberate people. They make people uncomfortable. Now, secure leaders, wherever they go, people open their hearts. Become transparent. They talk about things. I mean, they feel safe, secure. They feel, I am in a safe ground, but sometimes you don't know the person very much, but you sense immediately this man carries an atmosphere of confidence, safety. I can let go of my privacy. Ministry that liberates. Wherever you go and in people you meet, people are so friendly to you. They're so close to you. Immediately you build a close relationship because secure leaders have constant favor and access to people's hearts. Isn't that good? How many years say, Lord, I want that heart. I want that secure heart in you. Honestly. Now, honoring God in all he did. We want to honor secure leaders. They know how to honor the Lord. They know how to exalt the Lord. Insecure leaders, they all will think about their ambition. How to get recognition. How to be, acknowledged. They're hungry for all the motives of insecure people. Just self-centered, self-occupied, self-absorbed. Because they're afraid. They want to accumulate things to feed their insecurity. A secure leader says, I am free to bring honor to the Lord. Praise his wonderful name. Now let's look to the dirt side of that, this story here. The dirty side of it. Now, what are the root causes of insecurity? Formative years of our lives, of my childhood, I was rejected, abused. So many people spoke negative things against me. I mean, there were some root causes in the history of my childhood. I mean, I carry that in me, and that brought a lot of insecurity to my life. If you've been abused as a kid, if you've been spoken negative over, rejected, deprived, all this contributed to the insecure heart that you have. Now the question is, do you believe that God is able to heal you from that history? God can dig deep. You know, God has no past, present, and future. Do you know that? We live in past, present, but God has no past, present, future. It's everything present there. So God can dig deep into that area and says, I'll wash it. I'll free you from it. Now, formative years of our lives, it's really... needs cleansing. Lies of the enemy, fear and shame. Lies of the enemy spoke to you and you agreed with him. So he convinced you. He said, yes. He tried to convince you, but it's all lies. He uses half-truth. He brings lies to you and you agree with him. What happened? When you agree with him, that lie becomes reality in your life. Becomes a stronghold in your life. Now when Adam and Eve sinned, what happened? They hid themselves because they felt shameful. So insecurity, maybe it's hidden in those issues. Hidden fears, hidden shame. Lord, every time I remember that story, I can faint because of shame and lies of the enemy. So we have to get rid of ungodly belief, ungodly lies, things that junk. And the way you think, that's the way you're going to be. That's the way you're going to behave. Now, we underestimate the power of the blood of Jesus. He can cleanse you from all these things. Now the condition is say, I have to renounce the devil. I have to renounce all his lies. I want to believe what God says about me. I want to believe what God is saying about me. Now let's move to struggles with identity. That's our problem in Israel. Number one problem in the country of Israel is the issue of identity. When you come there the first few weeks, you will discover it. You know, when you come, when you come anywhere, who are you? From which background you come from? Are you a Jew, half a Jew? Are you a Gentile? Who are you? Are you a Muslim? Are you Christian? Are you Christian Jew? Are you Christian Arab? Oh my God! You know, you just struggle with the issue of identity constantly. Now, the best identity I have is being in Jesus. I'm a kingdom guy. I'm a kingdom boy. How many believe our identity in Christ is more powerful, more precious, more valuable than any other identity on the face of the earth? So we struggle who we are, who we're going to be. I don't like myself. I don't like my background. I don't like how I came to be. I have that negative feeling about my ancestors, my line, my background line. Now we have to settle this issue. God wants to bring you to the real identity in the Spirit. I traveled to Sudan. Sudan has two countries, New Sudan and Old Sudan. The New Sudanese, the southerners, they discovered that the south side of Sudan, which is the New Sudan, they have oil more than the Gulf countries. There are the two Nile separates, you know, that piece of land between the two Nile. It's the most fertile ground in all of Africa. If they plant that and grow that, it will feed Africa and the Middle East. What is the problem? What is the problem? The southerners, Sudanese, they have no confidence in themselves. They can build a country. Can you see it? They have the resources. They have the power. They have everything, but they don't have the confidence to build a country. That's why everybody's hand on them. They want to steal them. They want to humiliate them. Abraham struggled with the issue of insecurity. Do you know that? He left not knowing where to go. Where should I go? Left and right. Where should I go? He struggled with insecurity. But God appeared to him. He said, "Listen, Abraham, I am your shield." How many here desires to hear that from the Lord personally? Come to you, Lord. God said to Abraham, "Your reward, Abraham, your reward is so great. I am your shield. Sleep the night. I'll protect you." Now, what about the world's view of security? We run to the world. Oh, the world will provide us with security, success, and provide us with finances, provide us with many access and opportunities. We feel secure because we know some people, we know some influential people. I feel secure. We run to the world for security. What happened? God comes and strips you completely from that. Why? Because he wants your heart to be established in him. Allowing man's opinion to determine our security. That's a big one. I know a cousin of mine. I'm sorry, cousin of Margaret. Her father was a doctor. And he had a boy and a girl. So the father influenced his children. He wants the boy and the girl to be doctors like him. Because they felt like if we don't do what my father is doing, we will never feel safe, secure, approved. So what happened? They moved with the tradition of their father, with the influence of the father. So the boy got the same. He became a doctor like his dad. And the girl also went to a medical school for 8 years to get that medicine, that degree. And she finished after 8 years, and she brought the degree and gave it to her father. And she said to her dad, "Now I want to study my own subject. I don't want to work as a doctor. I want to study my own subject." Why did she do that? Because she allowed her father to determine her security. Nobody can determine your security unless you allow them. Nobody. What about lack of discovering our place, identity, and calling in Christ? Revelation of the Father's love, abilities, and giftings. We need to discover those things. The number one thing that makes you so secure is to discover that God is your real Father. Fatherhood provides stability, security, and safety to the children. And when you discover who God is, you will have that heart, that deep heart of confidence and safety and security. Lack of discovering, lack of discipline and diligence. Indisciplined people without discipline, they always struggle with insecurity. They look at the others, you know, they're so disciplined, I can't. And now, discipline doesn't come by overnight. It's a gradual, you build that through the Spirit, through the grace, not discipline of the will of the human will, but discipline of the grace. Lord, help me. I trust you to empower me, to help me to be disciplined in my life. So lack of discipline, lack of diligence, what happened? I continue to be insecure, struggling with that. Some, they have excuses. I can't. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. What about giving into the team competition and comparison? Why do you spend 20, 30 years of your life comparing yourself to somebody? Competing with somebody. Oh, my target in life to exceed that person. My target, I want to be, I always measure myself with my peers. God says, I don't want you to copy anybody. I don't want you to compete with anybody. I don't want to be in competition with anybody. I want you to discover the uniqueness that I created you with. How many here desires to say, Lord, I am a unique person. I don't want to copy anybody. We start copying. First, when we start discovering things, we start to copying. That's normal. That's no. But don't stay that. Do the transition quickly. They say about 85% of people copy others. They copy and advance. You know, put some development on the thing. Only 5% of people, they are creative. Do you know who are they? It's the secure. The secure person, the secure believer, the secure leader, always a creative one. You always create new things. Yes, we like some issues, we like some standards, it's nothing wrong with that. But Lord, I want to be a unique. I want to do things. How many believe that the Holy Spirit have millions of ways to do things? When the Holy Spirit, when you have that deep confidence, what happened? You allow the Holy Spirit to breathe creativity in you. Be so flexible. Now, when Jesus healed, delivered, he never copied the same situation. He always healed differently. One, he put mud on the eyes. One, he just said, go, show yourself to the priest. He never healed the same. He never delivered the same. Do you know why he never copied himself? Anybody knows? We cannot put him in a box. Why he did not really say, oh, I'm going to repeat that. I'm going to copy that. Everything he did was so different. Do you know why? Because he doesn't want you to follow formulas. 1, 2, 3, you get the result. No, that's a formula. God doesn't want you to follow copy formula, you get the results. No. The Lord wants you to follow Him. Follow Him. Now, driven by personal needs. Now, we struggle with a lot of needs and we try to meet those needs looking to people to meet these needs. We want people to love us. We want people to accept us. We want the people to see that we are gifted. We want the people to see that we are somebody. So what motivates us in ministry is not really our love for the Lord. What motivates us in ministry needs we're looking for people to meet. Why do you serve? Why do you do what you're doing? Is it because you want somebody to say, to encourage you, or to love you, or to show you love, to show, oh, wow, what a sermon, what a great, is that what you're looking for? Or you serve because you love the Lord. Insecure leaders, insecure, they always serve, but behind their service, they're hungry to prove themselves, hungry for recognition, hungry for praise, hungry for somebody to that they feed on that. How many believe that's God's job to meet every need in my life? Let's move further. Where are we now? Okay, problem areas. If we start talking about the problem areas, it's going to talk a long time. Image. Struggle with your look. I don't like myself. If I would ask how many here likes himself, we like to keep that image and we struggle with it. I'm not happy with myself. In a private life, I don't like myself. The Bible says, love yourself. That's not selfishness. No. Love yourself as you love your so it is biblical to be happy with yourself. How many here say, Lord, you created the most beautiful person on the face of the planet? I'm happy with myself. We struggle with image because people expect you with certain image and you want to put yourself in certain image. You struggle with emotions. One day you're happy, one day you're not happy. One day you're surrendering to public pressure. Feeling inferior. Angry. You want to protect yourself. Super sensitive. Defensive. Reactionary. All this because of insecurity. Emotional battle in you. But God wants to bring us to that place, Lord. I really want deep rest, deep freedom in my heart. I want that. I want to operate with this. I don't care about anybody here. I just want that place of confidence. I'm happy with myself, happy with Jesus, happy with everybody. I know who I am, what I'm going to do. I'm the most happy person. That's where God wants us to be. We struggle with confidence. You know, anything you get, if you're insecure, anything, it's in your hand. You control it. You control everything. You're a controller. Why do you control everything? Because you're afraid. There's fear. You know, there's hidden fear that causes you. You have to put everything under control. God says, there is no room to trust me. Is there any room to trust me? No, I have to control everything. No, lack of confidence is excessive of control in our lives. And the Lord taught me this lesson very well. One time I was traveling to Africa with 9 stops, coming back, 3 conferences. I have to change 9 planes to come back home. So I went to the airport, I booked, paid everything. I have the itinerary with me. I went to the airport. So the lady said to me, the airline said to me, listen, sir, yes, you do have a booking here, but there is no name. Your name is not in the system. I don't know if anybody happened with that. Nobody happens. They said to me, something happened that you have no name in the booking. So So what are you going to do? You're going to lose altitude now? You want to rebuke the airline? What are you going to do? Start blowing it up now? What are you going to do? I was about to lose altitude. The Holy Spirit says, hold it there. Don't pull the old nature now. I want you to go to that corner. I want to talk to you. So I went. I felt the Lord was saying, okay, can you trust me? I told him, 9 tickets. Just one flight, it's 9. Can you trust me? Yes, Lord. He said, go as a gentleman and talk to that lady. So I want to talk to her as a Christian, you know. So I told her, can you help me? She went and asked the manager. She said, yes, we can help you if there is a seat on the plane. So they gave me just a seat. But she said, when you get to the next airport, you're on your own. You're talking about control. Booking things on the right. And God came and pulled everything. I think the Lord did it. Teach me not to control. Teach me how to trust Him. So I landed the next. I talked to them as a Christian. So they said the same language, 9 stops, the same language. We will give you, we have a seat, we only give you 1 leg at a time. So I have a journey now called 9 Steps of Faith. So the issue of, we struggle with that issue. If we don't have deep confidence, what we're going to go? We're going to control everything. There is no room for faith. Now, motives, we talk the fears. Why King Solomon married 700 wives? And 300 bonus. So 1,000. Do you know why? Why did he marry? Was he in need of more wives? No. He married 700 wives to secure the border of the nation of Israel. In order for that nation to protect the border of Israel, I have to make a peace treaty with them. And with every peace treaty, what happened? They have to sign that treaty to marry a woman from that tribe. So with every peace treaty he did, there's a wedding. There was a wedding there. I wish she came by herself. She didn't come by herself. She came with a huge crew of priests and idols. I mean, she came like with a clan with her. So he filled all Jerusalem with hundreds and hundreds of idols and pagan priests doing offerings in the Jerusalem there. What happened? He did it out of insecurity. Because he wants to secure the nation. What said, I have a brilliant idea. What is the brilliant idea? Is if I do that, alliances with them, they will protect my border. What happened? That area of insecurity caused the fall of Solomon, King Solomon. Now, David was the opposite. David did not do that. David said, Lord, I trust you. I have a deep confidence in you. What God said, I will protect the borders. Hallelujah. Who protects this nation? Who protects this nation? Who protects your house? Your faith in God. When you have a deep confidence, trust in the Lord, what happened? He said, God, I am your shield. So those areas of struggling areas, we struggle with the independence, you know, insecure person, always independent. He doesn't like to connect with people. Relationally, struggles with her. No transparency, no openness, always hiding emotions. He's lonely. All this, no flexibility. I mean, he suffers relationships. He suffers with the issue of relationships. Another area of problems there is an area of accountability. He will be no accountable to anybody. He refuses reviews, feedback, evaluation. He doesn't like that. What about the area of function in ministry? The ministry is all, it's a dominated style. All what he does, it's focusing on problem finding, critical attitude to feed his insecurity. You cannot work with him. It's hard to work with an insecure person. Now, after talking this area, let's summarize characteristics of the insecure leader. Let's just read it. Lead by fear, anxiety, and ambition. Driven by the opinions of others and the need to prove oneself. Dissatisfied with themselves. They never be satisfied. You know, some people, they put tattoos. Do you know why they put tattoos? Because they're hungry for attention. They're really hungry, insecure. Insecurity, that's a sign of insecurity. I need some attention. Are you still happy with me? I don't know. If you don't smile, I will quit teaching. Hiding behind masks. Wow, that's a dangerous one here. Should I tell you about my wife? One time, my wife, she's a fourth generation missionary. I mean, she's a godly woman. You can't argue with her. I love my wife. God bless me with four children. They all love the Lord and serve the Lord. One girl, one boy are married. My second son, he just finished Bible school and he's working with us in Israel in the ministry. Nathan, he's 24 years old. And Rochelle, she's 16 and a half. They all love the Lord and serve the Lord. But my wife, one time, she came to me and said, Andrew, I love you more when you are in the church. I don't like you in the house. I said, why? She said, you look like an angel in the church. You're so sweet. You're so gentle. I love you in the church. If you want me to love you, that's in the church. I don't like my husband at the house. So I discover I have two masks, one at the house, one in I didn't argue with her. I went to the Lord. I said, Lord, she's right. Not every time, but she's right. She's right. She's right. So I went And I prayed, and the Lord convicted me. I said, Lord, my first church is my house, my family, and I don't want to be a failure in that. So I asked the Lord to change me, and the Lord really freed me, cleansed me. And so I didn't ask her after that. But a few months later, she came and said, you changed? What happened? I start loving you at the house. You're the same man now in the church and in the house. Now, having those masks, double personalities, you know, that's all breathe insecurity in us. Secret indulgences, we go, because of insecurity, we go into addiction. Focusing on self and struggling with jealousy, competition, and comparison. Wow. People, jealous people are exhausting people. I mean, they're exhausted. They will be exhausted. All they spend years of their life doing nothing except comparing themselves and feeling envy and jealousy from others. Suspicion, critical and controlling of others. You see wrong in everything. You criticize everything. You don't like anything. Do you know why? Because that critical attitude feeds your insecurity. Struggling with identities, confusion. Struggling with identity, confusion, and excuses. You know, insecure leaders, insecure people, they are the most expert in giving excuses. Now, after we summarize, let's talk just 5 minutes, then we'll have a break. 5 minutes, we'll have a break. How we want to be free from this insecurity. First of all, we have to recognize the problem and the need for healing and freedom. The problem here is, this is the problem. The problem, we hide this issue. We don't like to present it. We don't like to talk about it. We don't like anybody to know that we are insecure. Now, if I ask you, all of you, you would say, I'm secure, everybody's secure. But in reality, we're hiding it. It's exactly what Adam and Eve, they hid themselves because of shame. And that's so the issue here, in order to God to free you, you have to recognize that I do have that problem. I need healing. I need freedom. Now, after that, we have to come to the light for examination. The sin that you are not convicted by the Holy Spirit, it stays there. The Holy Spirit must convict you of that darkness in order to come in agreement with God. Says, Lord, I confess that sin. God says, now the door is open to cleanse it and to free you. So we come to the light. Now, sometimes I suffer the symptoms, but I don't know when this problem started and how the combination of this problem in my life. I invite you to the presence of God. Say, Holy Spirit, reveal to me the root issues, the root causes, where things has to be cleansed. So, honest self-examination. We come to an honest self-examination. When you come to that place of examination, the Lord knows that you are open, willing to be transformed and changed. Renouncing all false securities. I have $300,000 in the bank. I'm so secure. Soon, money has no value. You will know it. Is your security in the finances, in your job, or in the Lord? We have to renounce, Lord, thank you for all the blessings, but my security, my safety is not in the blessing. I want it to be in you, Lord. That's the problem of King Solomon. What happened? He put his security in the blessing that God blessed him with. He started dependent on his wealth, his influence, his wisdom, his own wisdom, and he lost it. He started deteriorating after that. We have to renounce all false securities. We have to confess it as sin, repentance, and cleanse. Say, Lord, cleanse me from this sin. Discovering the source of true security, identity, value, and calling. This we talked about. Avoiding negativity, comparison, jealousy, critical criticism. All these issues, we have to change a lifestyle after this issue is cleansed and dealt with. How long it's going to take, I don't know. But once you start targeting it, God is tearing down that stronghold in your life. What's the results? You're enjoying the freedom, the deep rest that God wants in your life. Hallelujah. Let's all stand now. Let's all stand. Can you just open your heart to the Lord? Lord, just tell him, Lord, you know everything about me more than I even understand myself. You know my need. You know my desire. You know my faith.